Good morning, everyone. It's good to be here at Maranatha Church today. I've heard so much about you over the last 890 years. I'm just checking the crowd to see if you're all awake. Thank you for this opportunity to be with you today on this special missionary day. I want to commend you. You still have an organ and a grand piano, even though we sing off the wall. One of the most painful days of my life was when they took out the organ and the grand piano from my church. You know, music's very important. They brought in all this electronic stuff. The first Sunday I prayed that there'd be a power failure. God has a plan for every one of us here this morning. And I would like to share with you just for a few moments. I want to thank some people and this church because you've been pace-setting over the years. First of all, to Dirk and Mary Koss. As you've heard this morning, they've given 11 best years of their lives to Mexico. I remember the day when the board was told that Dirk was determined to start a ministry to the handicapped. And I said, I thought we were running an orphanage. But you know, Dirk's persistence paralyzed our resistance. And today is that magnificent ministry that's affecting all up and down the Baja Peninsula. In fact, we've been there for 50 years. And now there are 31 other ministries in the area that all came out of that. The second thing I want to thank this church for, wherever the fireman sits, for you gentlemen who drove the fire trucks that the city of Edmonton donated down to Mexico, because it provided fire prevention for 25 square miles and the jaws of life. And it all came out of this church. And we thank you for it. And for the teacher here from Strathcona School. Oh, they're not part of this church? Well, Jesus died for them too. And those children raising all that outstanding amount of money. It was unusual. And so I thank you today for this opportunity of sharing. Last fall, I had the privilege of speaking at the headquarters of your denomination on Main Way in Burlington to 40 of the largest Christian humanitarian aid agencies in Calgary, in Canada. And before I spoke, two ladies shared from World Renew. You've never heard of that organization. One was from Africa and the other was Caucasian. She was a pale face like me. And they shared of what your denomination is doing around the world. It was inspiring. It was awesome. And they provided the great prelude. So before I had the privilege of speaking, thanks to another member of your church, Harry Houtman, of Link Charity, which is the Bible answer to Christian stewardship services. You missed that one. So this morning, I'm here to persecute you. Just be thankful it's only once. I'd like you to turn to True Story magazine, page 133, in the King James Version, the second chapter of the Gospel according to St. John. And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee. And the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto them, "They have no wine." And Jesus said unto her, "Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come." And his mother said unto the servants, "Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, "Fill the water pots with water," and they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, "Draw out now and bear unto the governor the feast," and they bear it. And when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the wine, the governor of the feast called to the bridegroom, and saith unto him, "Every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now." This, the beginning of miracles, did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I want to share with you this morning about the wonderful opportunities that are available to each one of us today. God has a plan for every life. God has a unique ministry in his kingdom for each and every one of us. Yesterday at Mission Fest, one person came to me and said, "When are you going to retire?" I said, "I do that every night. Every day is a new beginning. It's a new opportunity for each and every one of us." And so this morning, I want to encourage you to take a step of faith and see what God will do. As our friends have shared, you're all going down to Guerrero in February next year. Please take your long johns with you. When the sun goes down, it's cold. Beautiful things happen when you take a step of faith. Recently, down there, the government of Mexico, the delegado came and said, "We have just built this beautiful new daycare center, and we would like to invite you to take it over and run it." And people said, "Why should we get involved in that? We don't have staff for it." And then the delegado said, "Well, we will give you this property and we will pay half the salaries for all the staff." That was an answer to prayer. 25 people on staff that the government's paying for. And then we said, "Well, we're a Christian organization." And for the first time in the history of Mexico, the government granted us the privilege in building this beautiful daycare center for 125 children. We were able to put scripture texts on the wall, and we were able to teach the Bible to the children and pray over their food every day. And then when the children go home at night, they're missionaries to their parents, because they tell them what they've learned that day. And as one small child, their parents were about to eat their dinner, and the child said, "We haven't prayed yet." They were missionaries. themselves. And here God gave us this wonderful facility, unexpectedly. Because when you take a step of faith, then God will honor you and open another door. Right now, we're involved in doing something that I was at the board meeting last week, and they said it couldn't be done. I said, well, the Bible says, with God all things are possible. Reminds me of my old friend, Dr. Len Jones from Australia. One day he was reading the Bible, and he got so excited because he read in the New Testament that with God all things are possible. And he went to another gospel, and we read the words, nothing shall be impossible unto you. So what did my friend do? He went and got his scissors. And he went to Mr. Webster's dictionary. And he cut the word impossible out of it. Because he says, my God says, all things are possible to him that believeth. You say, well, I can't do it. Yes, you can. You take a step of faith, and you'll see what God will do. We are now in the midst of going to build a $1 million orphanage in Tijuana. You say, how can you do that? Well, the Durkins, who we prayed for this morning, they feed up to 500 little urchins every day in the garbage dump of Tijuana. It's a phenomenal opportunity. And so, Karen, I can't see my Chinese friends. They're here, I know, because, oh, I see it now. Thank you. She prepared this week for us a little brochure. This is not a commercial. This is an information item. At least I thought I had one. Isn't it amazing in your old age? Here it is. This is a picture of our birthing home in Taiwan. And now we're believing God to give us a 10-acre patch of land. If any of you go down from Tijuana South, you'll notice there are 30,000 gringos or Mexicans or Americans rather living on the beach. We're going to build right up on the hill overlooking the beach and opening a Christian school as well where the Word of God can be shared. You say, why do you get involved in these things? Because there's a need and there's an opportunity for each and every one of us. Jesus needs you. He wants you. He has a ministry for each and every one of us. When you take a step of faith, God will bless you and give you the desires of your heart. Some years ago, in the 1970s, 60s, I was ordained in the same service as a Chinese pastor in Calgary, and we had a little problem because we disagreed with each other. He said, China will never open to the gospel. And we said, yes, China is going to open to the gospel. Mao Zedong is not the end of all things. We went through Mussolini. We went through the Nazi regime in Germany, and God is going to open China again. Some young men swam from mainland China, those of you who know Hong Kong, across the South China Sea, and eventually they got into Hong Kong. How they got there was they got basketball netting, and they put it around themselves, and they tied ping pong balls to provide for the flotation so that they could go for the long distance. When they arrived in Hong Kong, in the providence of God, something unique happened. They met Christians, and Christians shared with them the gospel, the good news of the gospel. They accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. And as a result, they were an answer to prayer. Because no one in the Western world knew what Mao Zedong was doing. In other words, he relieved the Chinese language of 800 syllables. be changed, like you and I read, from the front to the back, from the left to the right. Traditional Chinese, you start at the back in the corner and go back to the front. And God used those young men to do a translation. Now this came from China. It's the four Gospels. This was the first that was ever printed in the simplified script. People said, China will never open. We kept going at it. This is the first New Testament. In fact, it's written in here. This is the first copy in Canada of the entire New Testament in the simplified script. Some people said China will never open. You said, how are you going to get them into the country? Well, that's easy. Donkeys for Jesus. Two-legged ones. Some years later, we were able to finish, and this is the entire Bible. But we had a problem. They're so heavy. How are we going to get the Bible in the country? So, on a visit to China, we went to a printer who was a Chinese Muslim. And he printed the Bible for us, this size, easy to carry. And when for elderly people, we put in a 25-cent magnifying glass so they could do it. So one day, while there, we said, are you going to turn us into the government? Because it's illegal, you know that. And the printer looked at us and said, why should I? You provide me with 90% of my business. That's how it all happened. People said it couldn't be done, but I read in True Story magazine, with God, all things are possible. And today, last year, I took the funeral in California of an elderly missionary who was in a nursing home. She died at 95. When she was 85 years old, she decided she needed to do something for Jesus. So she was in a Bible bookstore and she saw a comic book on the life of Jesus in the English language. So she bought one and she took it home and translated it into Chinese. And this is it right here. This book was printed inside China. We've printed 400,000 of them to date. Cost us 70 cents each. Good investment. And the wonderful thing about it all is that seniors like it better than the kids do. Because they got the pictures and the message of the gospel. Now the first 50,000 that came off the press, they were incomplete because the back page was empty. So I said, look, you didn't give us everything. You were supposed to print this. And he said, well, I was scared that if the government came in and arrested me for printing the gospel that you proclaim, that I could say, well, it's a historical book about this man called Jesus. I said, incomplete, brother. So, you know, our good friends, the Gideons, on the back page of the Gideon New Testament, you see them give the plan of salvation, and then they sign their name on the bottom and the date that they believe in Christ. So he repented, and we printed 400,000 today, and they only cost us 70 cents each, a very good investment. came about because an 85-year-old lady was fossilizing in a retirement center saying, "What can I do for Jesus? I still got abilities." And she translated this. You may be sitting here this morning saying, "What can I do for Jesus? I'm just waiting for my CPP or my OAS." But God wants you. God needs you. In the foreknowledge of God, He has a plan for your life. And there was silence in heaven for the space of a half hour. Amen. God cares for each and every one of you. To all my teaching friends, I've just finished doing 40 books in Kinchin for Burma, and my translator suffered a heart attack this week in Rangoon. And they said, "Is this the end?" No. One sows, another waters, and God gives the increase. My father was 70 years of age when we relocated from Toronto because of my mother's health. She was an arthritic cripple. He was in Calgary. The doctors recommended we go to the drier climate. So we moved either Medicine Hat or Calgary. Interesting situation was, you know, when you have a preacher in a pew, they get very agitated. You know, the young buck in the pulpit, he doesn't do it right. You understand? So one day we saw a sign that said, "Church for sale." There had been a split in the Lutheran church in the German area of Calgary, Bridgeland, Riverside. And the building came up for sale in the courts. And my father said, "This is going to be our church." I said, "How are you going to buy it?" He invested all his life savings as a poor pastor and bought the building for $9,500. A historic site. If you go to Calgary today, there's a big plaque on the building. It's a historic site. And we started a church. You know, elderly people promote elderly people. So our congregation were made up of those on the west side of 65. But then there were so many children in the area, and we ended up having children's outreach, and we averaged 200 a week, and I was a teenager. And that's where I got my start. My father pastored the church till he was 95 years old. Very unique. I had to take away his driver's license from him when he was 95. It was the hardest thing I ever did. Because he did not believe in red lights or stop signs. He knew where he was going, so get out of the way. And then I had the privilege of being the pastor for 36 years, the senior pastor. And my son is now the preaching pastor. My eldest son, and I do the funerals. I've been averaging one a week this year. People don't come to church, but they remember the old gray-haired boy who married. You know, it's very interesting. I'm sitting here this morning, and I reminded myself that I married Pastor Ed Jager, who's now in Guelph, a CRC pastor, who used to be at Emmanuel in Calgary. In fact, he met Sylvie, his wife, at our church. Interesting. You know, it's called connections. What do you believe in God for this morning? God has more of His greatness to give to each one of you. I have to confess, I wanted to listen to myself this morning, and I slept in on the 7 a.m. radio broadcast here over Edmonton. One day, the late Reverend Bob Simpson took me out for lunch. He was 84 years old. And he said at the time, I think you should take over my broadcast. I said, well, I don't have any inclination towards it. Well, he says, God tells me that you're to do it. I said, okay, done deal. So now I've been on the broadcast every Sunday for over 40 years. And we start with Sunrise Tomorrow, and love lifted me. And it's amazing. Yesterday at Mission Fest, over 20 people walked up to me and said, are you the old man that's on the radio every Sunday morning? Over, is it 9:30 here in Edmonton? I can't remember. 9:30? I said, I think so. It was taking a step of faith. So, my board on the Radio Society said, you're getting rather old. Don't you think you should retire? I said, no. They did it to me. The suckers did it to me on my 84th birthday. I was ready to send them to purgatory. I said, no. Then something unusual happened. 8 countries of Africa opened up, just like that, overnight. And I get more emails every week from Africa than I do from Canada. And it's amazing, some of the stories. One question that came 2 weeks ago was, is God white, brown, or yellow, or black? I couldn't find it in the King James Version. Another one was, is God male or female? Valid questions from what we would call a heathen country. But we have the privilege of sharing the good news of the gospel. So I'm here today to encourage you as a church. Never give up. Take a step of faith, because God has more of His greatness to give to every one of us. God knew before the foundation of the earth that each and every one of us would be involved in some form of ministry. And you may be here this morning with a toothache in your heart, saying, my life's been a failure up till now. God never predestined that. He predestined success for each and every one of us. God has a plan for each and every one of you. So on this Mission Sunday, as we think of the world, I want to encourage each one of you. Let's increase our output. Let's become more involved than ever before. And God will give to each one of us the desires of our heart as we honor Him. Heavenly Father, bless this congregation. Bless the missionary emphasis of this church and our denomination. That everyone experience the blessings of Abraham. We decree it now in Christ's name. Amen.